Tales of Omo Onile are not new. If you've tried to construct a building in any state capital in southwest Nigeria, this could easily be your story.
On Amazon, 50,000.
They said we would start paying 50,000 naira before we started working, and I had paid 30,000 naira. It was after I paid 30,000 naira that they started disturbing me again. Then they collected 10,000 naira, which made it 40,000 naira, until they now left us and allowed the work to continue.
If you've ever worked on a construction site, you may have heard the story. It may have even happened to you.
They chased everyone, even the person who was going on their own. They did not work with us. They just came at the time we were working. In fact, it was macheted. I was the only one who escaped because I saw them. They ran after me into the bush.
From Kara House Media, this is Omo Onile. You will see them at construction sites. A well-dressed male leads a gang of men and boys wearing sagging trousers and bearing weapons. Sometimes, you will see just the mob. You can always tell them by their unstained hands. No coveralls, no sweat. In southwest Nigeria, we call them Omo Onile. The phrase is a Yoruba coinage loosely translated to the owners of the land. They are saying, "We are the landlords here, and you cannot have a home on this plot unless you make us happy." They are touts who are ready to kill and maim to get what they want. Popola Ademola went to Oshogbo, the Osun State capital, a province in southwest Nigeria, to speak with Sakirat Kajogbola, a divorced mom. Sakirat has two kids. For 5 years, she has been selling pastries from her stall at Okebale in Oshogbo. Sakirat bought half a plot of land to build a house her and her children could call home after saving enough money from her business.
I am a trader. I sell provisions and I do salt with flour, puff puff, meat pie, egg roll, chin chin, peanuts, etc. After I was done with school, I couldn't get a job, so I resorted to doing this to be successful in life. What happened is that as a lady my age, though I had marital challenges at the time, I decided that I didn't need to influence myself negatively, despite having issues with my husband. I decided I should go move on with my life and my two kids.
Sakirat says it was important for her to find an honest source of livelihood after her divorce, one that did not leave her at the mercy of anyone and gave her children the support they need. To raise money for the land she bought, she joined a cooperative with other traders. Every month, each person dropped a certain amount of money. All of that fund is given to one person on a rotational basis. This style of raising money is referred to as ajo, a Yoruba lingua for together.
I got into contribution and was involved in a year, 20,000 naira. When the money was substantial, I proceeded to get a half plot of land.
After purchasing the plot, Sakirat used her ajo contribution to start developing. Sometimes, she went without food to keep the project going. When you've used ajo to raise money, you need someone trustworthy to help you make sure the cash is well spent. That's Karim Abbas. He is Sakirat's stepbrother. Abbas was 27 when he spoke with Popola. For over 10 years, Abbas has been a bricklayer, laying blocks, building foundations, and constructing walls so that mothers like Sakirat and her kids can have space to call home. The call from his sister came during a dry patch. It was at the end of the coronavirus lockdown. Many had not recovered from being unable to work or trade. Few homes were rising off the ground in Oshogbo. So when Abbas's sister called, he took the call. Looking back, he would wish that call never came. Some of his blood would be spilled before he could earn any money. Abbas was not really keen on taking the job because the pay was 300,000 naira less than what it is worth. But he did, because he was sure that he will get some money for food. With half bread on the table, Abbas and his boys went to Sakirat's half plot of land in Koka community, Oshogbo.
On the day we started the work, the voice came and pursued everyone from the land. Did not let horse do anything. In fact, we had started working before they came.
Abbas is recounting what happened on the first day work started on the land. The Omonile thugs came and chased them out. Abbas and his three co-workers stayed away from the site for 3 days. They reported to Sakirat, and she had to do something or forfeit her dream two-bedroom flat. She was given a 50,000 naira bill to pay before Abbas and his team could resume. She raised 30,000 naira, 60% of the fee. Abbas paid the Omo Onile and went back to work. Often, Omo Onile acts with the authority of a family member who sold the land. Sakirat says someone tipped the touts against her.
One man was farming on the land. It was the man who yielded to the hooligans, Omo Onile, that they wanted to start working on the land. And we had even begged at the time. We even went to the chief, in fact. That man was farming on the land, and I didn't even purchase the land from him.
While Sakirat worked on acquiring the land legitimately, she says a certain man who was farming on the plot was likely responsible for the Omo Onile attacks. The unnamed farmer's intelligence nearly led to the death of Abbas and his workers.
As we were working, we had not even worked up to a substantial stage when they arrived and started asking who gave us the order to work on the land. They beat everyone, even passerby, who did not even know we were working on the land.
A few days after the thugs had been settled, the bricklayers were at work. Few hours into that morning, things got heated. A slap was dished out, a stone was thrown, and that was before the thugs came en masse, 20 of them on bikes, by Abbas's recollection, to 4 bricklayers, including himself. When Sakirat heard, she panicked. First, she called her brother, Sikiru.
I was going to. I had one urgent job at Ife, so I was going there. I was almost there when my younger brother called me that I should start coming. He said the hooligans, like the Omo Onile, had created pandemonium, and the bricklayers I hired for him had been brutally beaten with cutlasses, and he had been injured. I immediately told the boss to stop. I had paid 500 naira for the fare, that's from Oshogbo to Ife. So I boarded another bus to Oshogbo for 500 naira. Before I got to Oshogbo, I had started calling some people to explain the incident to them. It is my younger sister's husband's village, so I reached out to him. He said he was at Iragbiji, so I told him to start going to Koka if something was going on there, and I was coming.
Sikiru was on his way to Ife when his sister's call came in. Hearing the panic in her voice, he made an about turn to Oshogbo, calling for help from family and friends as he went. Ife is 50 kilometers away from Oshogbo. It is a 1 hour ride on a day with light traffic. Sikiru is a tiler, and his dry spell was about to end before his sister's call forced him to make a U-turn. While Sakirat was calling her brother, she took Abbas and his co-workers to the hospital.
Thank God there is a primary health care center at Koka. So we went there, knowing it was too far to get to the town, and these people were bleeding. I got about 6 tins of milk and poured it into their mouth, because the hooligans stoned them with building blocks. They were covered in blood. We met a woman at the health center who told us that there was nothing to use for the injured people and that we needed to go and get materials for the treatment.
Thankful for the primary health center at Koka, Sakirat rushed Abbas and the other injured workers for treatment. This was another unplanned expenditure. Sakirat was not singled out for victimization. Land developers and builders like Abbas have fallen prey to these extortionists too often. In 2022, two carpenters were reportedly killed in Oshogbo during a fight with the touts. In August 2023, the Osun State Artisan Workers Union staged a demonstration at the Palace of the Ataoja of Oshogbo, Oba Jimo Olanipekun, over the assault and threats to life of their members.
Before
some years, like you're doing like
that, Alhaji Adewale Adebayo, he came back to Osun, his state of origin, in 1997 to strike out as an estate developer.
Don't get me.
Yes, sir.
Adebayo tells Pukpola he has had experience buying land and building on them with zero hassle. He cannot pinpoint exactly when Omonile attacks became frequent. Adebayo is now in his 70s. These days, he does not have the fight to buy and build anymore.
On to block. I was not in the site that day. That is 2001. Brickila said to Jimmy Son. Anthony property later and coin. So Daniel. Even his second. Only do I want to have back.
In 2001, Adebayo was constructing a building at Owode in Osun. Some thugs came in, stopped the workers, and demanded to be paid. Back at Sakirat's land in Koka, work had stalled for a month before the bricklayers were fit to resume. By this time, Sakirat had spent 55,000 naira in unbudgeted sums, due to the demands of the thugs. 15,000 naira of that amount was spent on hospital bills for Abbas and his colleagues. But she was not out of the woods yet.
When we wanted to roof the house, after they had collected 10,000 naira from us when we lifted the house, and that was different from the 40,000 naira they had earlier collected. So they came again at the time we wanted to roof the apartment and demanded 70,000 naira. It was a two-bedroom flat and a shop. We gave them either 15,000 naira or 20,000 naira on that day.
In order to complete her house, Sakirat had to shell out money to the thugs at several stages. She remembers giving them almost 30,000 naira at the lintel stage. Sakirat received one final request.
In fact, on the day we were doing plastering, they came again. But on that day, I totally disagreed with them. Their bosses had earlier come. They said, "Madam, well done. Are you plastering the house?" I was already angry because of all that they had done. I had prepared for them. So as I was just looking at them and asked what they observed we were doing. Then after the bosses left, the rest of them came with motorcycles and greeted me in Islam. But I was too angry to respond to them. Then they went to meet the bricklayers, saying that I did not answer them. So I thought of what to do to them and asked if we were laying the foundation of the house or adding the roof. I told them, "Do you people know what you have done to me in this place?"
The money demands were never one-offs. But the last time they came around, Sakirat was fed up. She refused to cooperate. At some point, she tried to scare them off by mentioning her hometown, Iragbiji, famous for juju. By Sakirat's calculation, she spent between 80 to 85,000 naira in unplanned expenditures to pacify these thugs who claimed to be enforcing right of ownership on behalf of the family that sold the land. When estate agents like Alhaji Adebayo find homes for people, landlords remember these expenses and pass them on to the tenants. Land developers or builders have learned to negotiate with these thugs or cow them into submission without involving security agencies. After Abbas and his colleagues were beaten, neither Sakirat nor her brother Sikiru called the police.
Oh, I did not inform the police because I don't like problems and I am also a woman.
Popola put some of the accusation leveled against the police to Yemisi Opalola, its public relations officer in Osun.
Most of the times that they think they encounter this kind of thing.
Yes.
I used to call them every time I am working. I used to give them my number and even the control room's number.
She says any accusation of the police being nonchalant is an insult to the personality of the officers. After 9 months of toil, cutting down on meals and harassment, Sakirat Kajabola moved into her two-bedroom apartment with a shop attached to the front at the end of 2022. But not many are as fortunate as she was.
I have pledged that even if my enemy wants to get land at Koka, I will discourage them. They disturb them so much, even when they are roofing the building.
Sakirat says, considering all she experienced while building her house, she would not advise anyone, even her worst enemy, to build in Koka. It was that bad. You have been listening to Omo Onile from Kara House Media. The story was reported and produced by Bopuola Ademola. Sound mixing was done by Daniel Akimbusoye. It was edited by Kelechukwu Ogu and Tolu Olasoji. Voicing was by Kelechukwu Ogu, and Damilola Banjo was the executive producer.